Thank you so much. Such a great honor to be in the presence of the Lord and in your presence also to bring the word of God. I just thank God and I'm very humbled by the words of Pastor Glenn for how the love he has for the mission and mainly for the church, how you've been standing with this man of God. And I want to bless the Harvest Church in the name of Jesus. And God has given me the grace to be here. I'm from Nakuru, Kenya. In Nakuru, Kenya is where, as you heard Pastor say, is one of the places where we were highly affected. And right now, in the next 4 hours, there will be 1,100 people just sitting outside in a field worshiping the Lord. And it is very much raining. We do our service every Friday. We have prayer service all night outside. Sometimes it's cold, sometimes it rains, but we love the Lord because what he has done to us is such a great thing. And when Pastor Glenn came to visit us, he was really touched to see the way God is moving and how you may not know how you're blessed sometimes. It's easy when you're here in America to take some of the things God has done to you for granted. It is so easy for people to take their home, take their cars, to take just things that you have. It's easy to take it for granted. But I want to give you a reason today to thank God for everything he has done to you. I want to tell you, you have a reason to thank God for your children. You have a reason to thank God for your house. You might not have a bigger house than like your neighbor, but at least you have a house. You might not have everything you want, but you have something. We are dealing with the people who are in a very, very desperate condition, but we really thank God he has been so faithful. I thank God because I have a few minutes just to share the love of God and the word of God with you. And as I've said, I bless you once again. My name is Mike Brown. I want to preach. You know, when you are in such a wonderful people, you are so tempted to preach in different styles. And I remember a friend of mine when he was in such a situation. He started preaching like Ben Hinn, and a lady was sitting in front there. He said, that's not you, that's Benny. And the man changed the style. He started preaching like Morris Cerullo, and that lady said, oh my goodness, that's Morris, that's not you. And then he changed another style. He wanted to be Clifford Dollar, and this woman said, oh, that is Clifford, that's not you. And this preacher got annoyed, and he said, you stupid woman, shut up. And the woman said, that is you now. That is you. So I don't want to preach like, I want to preach like me. I'm a happy preacher. I don't believe a church should be quiet. I believe a church should be some noisy because it has got life. You know, only where there is life, there is noise. If you go to a maternity ward where the children are being born, you will hear noises because there is life. But if you go to a mortuary, it will be quiet because there is death. So at least you can just shout hallelujah to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed to be in this church. I tell you, you don't know how you've been a blessing to our Maasai family. You don't know how you've been a blessing to the nations of the world, and I'm so happy. I've been looking forward to be here this morning, and here I am to share the love of God. Praise the name of the Lord. And just in case, this is my personal announcements, just in case you get more time and you don't have much activity after this service, I will request some of you people if you can come to the services, because I have the two more services to do this morning. And I can assure you they will all be different. They will be all different. So sometimes it is a blessing to get some double portion of something, especially when it is from Africa. It's imported. Amen. So I am so, so blessed that I just love the Lord for what he has done in my life. God has been so faithful. I want just to go quickly in the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'll share from that scripture quickly. This is, I believe the Bible I'm reading is your pastor's Bible. And as I see, there are some marks, which means once time he has read the place or he has preached from the place. But you see, sometimes God speaks twice. The Bible says the Lord has spoken once, twice have we heard. That power and victory come from the Lord. The Bible says the company of the prophet said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small. Let us go to Jordan, where we each one of us can get a pole, and let us build a place, therefore, for us to live. And he said, go. And then, that is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. Then one of them said, oh, won't you please come with us, your servant? And Elisha replied and said, yes, I will. Then they went to Jordan, and they began to cut the tree, and as one of them was cutting down the tree, the axe head, fell into the water, and he cried. He said, oh, my Lord. And he cried out, it was borrowed. And the very, very simple message I want to bring to you this morning is that having things that you borrow, it's very dangerous to have a borrowed thing. This is a story, it's in the Bible that really touches my life, that when you borrow something, the owner always will require it back. Borrowing is different from owning. If you own something, you are happy. But if you borrow something, you might enjoy it during the time when you are borrowing. It is wonderful, it is easy to use it. And that's why in the world right now, people enjoy credit cards because you can borrow, but they hate when time comes to pay back. And it is so easy when you borrow something, you can be so happy when you're being given. And in my life, it has happened when the work I'm doing with the children, as you have heard Pastor say, many people think, oh, it is because maybe Mike is a great man who does these things. But it is because where the Lord brought me from. Those who are here yesterday, I was sharing my testimony that by the grace of God, I've come from far. For me to stand here, if you have been waiting for a miracle in your life, to see a miracle, here is a miracle in front of you. Because there's no way on earth I would have stood before men and women like you. I never had an opportunity to go to school because at the age of 8, both of my parents had an accident and they died. And I was forced in Africa because Africa is not like here. They don't like to take care of boys, male children, because they are afraid when they grow up, they will ask for inheritance. So nobody wants to take them. So my uncle, because my father was a doctor, my uncle took everything from us and he promised to take us to school. But eventually he started torturing us. I was only 8 years old and I was being beaten day and night. And my brother, I had 3 brothers and 1 sister. We decided we cannot live there. We went on the street to live on the street. My sister got married when she was 11 years old and she died a year later when she was giving birth, because the man that took him married him when he was too young, and she became pregnant and she died during that time. And for that time, I started experiencing rejection. My second brother died when he saved me. I had stolen something from a certain woman, and when I was trying to run away, they were able to catch me and they stoned me nearly to death. And when my brother came to save me, they caught him there and he was killed and he died. God spared me for this day. God spared me so that I may bring to you this word of hope. And from my life, I knew rejection all through my life. I'm about 35 years old. And I suffered a lot when I was from the age of 8. I continued walking in fear. And all, another brother of mine also, we were all poisoned one day because we were eating from garbage. And someone got annoyed with the children because they thought the best way to get rid of the street children is to kill them. And 11 children died. And once again, the Lord saved my life. I ate the same poison, but I didn't die. But then it happened until when I was 17 years old and my life was in discouragement. I decided to commit suicide. I hated myself. I never loved anybody. I hated everyone. I became a rough man. And it was during that time I had made a decision, there is no need to live. Because I tell you, when you are hurting, you start hurting people. When you hate, you are hated, you start hating people. Because what you're given is what you give out. And so I was full of hatred. I was full of anger. I never loved anybody at all. And nobody loved me at the same time. And I remember in my life, and that's why I'm just sharing you this with all humility, because it is not by power, it is by the grace of God. And let me tell you, there is a grace of God in the house today. God was so faithful in my life. During all this time when I walked away from him, I went one day to the graveyard where I had buried my brother without a coffin. I said, God, today is my day to die. And a voice came and said, no, don't kill yourself. There is a meeting somewhere. If you go to that meeting, you can steal money and life will be better. And believe me, I went to an open-air crusade where there was a preacher from England preaching the gospel. And I went to that meeting. It used to be the best place for us to steal. Because when people are worshiping the Lord, you can worship their pocket. I tell you, it's so easy. So I went to this meeting to steal. And I was smelling for 9 years. I had never went to bathroom to wash or to do anything. I had all clothes smelling so bad that you didn't know to pray. You could feel my presence wherever I was. And it was in that mood I went to that meeting to steal. And this preacher said, I know you might have come here with a different agenda, but the Son of God died. If you are the only sinner in this crowd, he would have still died for you. And that word for the first time touched my inner man. I knew there was hope. And I went forward. Trust me, nobody, no ushers wanted to usher me before God. Because I was smelling so bad. But let me tell you, there is a friend who comes in when other people are walking out. There is someone who doesn't care how you look like. He doesn't like how you are like. He will just come and not only hug you, he will live in you. That's the amazing thing that happened in my life. That evening, I gave my life to Jesus. I went back to the street, but I changed man. I went back eating in the garbage, but I changed man. I went back walking the same life, not having a home. I slept with wild animal. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're looking for a miracle, this is a miracle before you. It is by the grace of God. I am here. I have eaten dead animals. I tell you, I've eaten dead animals. I could find a dog or something which has been bitten. I've been staying for a long time without food. And we would take it with other street boys. And we would cook it. And we would eat it. And God never allowed us to die. Because he had good plan. He knew one time, I will send you to America. And here I am to be a testimony that Jesus is alive. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is a mighty God. Hallelujah. And God saved me there. And I remember it was during that time, before I go back to the word of God, that the Lord started moving in my life. I was 17 years old and I became very ill because I was smoking. I was taking drugs. I was brewing alcohol, drinking alcohol and everything. And once I got saved, I just said no. I stopped it. And after 1 year, someone took me in to stay with them. And when I was staying with this family, I became very ill. And they took me to the hospital. And the doctors confirmed. They said he has blood poisoning. And not only blood poisoning, his kidney has failed. One of the kidney. Now, in Kenya, if you don't have relatives and you're sick, I want to assure you, you will die. Because no doctor will treat you without your relative either donating blood, money, and everything. There is no free, anything for free. So I was left in the hospital with this family, and I stayed in the hospital for 9 months, and I was at the point of death. Every day my health became bad. My teeth, everything started smelling. Fungus started growing in my mouth. I was so weak, I could not walk up. They ended the, what they did last. They took me to the last ward next to the mortuary. And at night, when someone died on the street, they would bring that body where I was sleeping until morning to move it to the mortuary. For 9 months, I saw dead bodies every day. Every day. And every time they would not touch me because I was smelling, they would throw food to me like a dog. And I would walk up from my bed, which was very low bed, and I would try and eat the food, but I could not even eat for 9 months. And they could touch me with a stick to see whether I was still alive. Nurses were afraid to come near me. For 9 months, I knew I was going to die. And my health became so bad, I could not walk, my brothers. I am here as a miracle. I thank God I can jump today. I thank God I can lift up my hands. I thank God I can serve Him. I thank God I can pray. And that's why I've dedicated my life to God. At any cost, I have counted everything else in the world to be nothing but to pursue the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because where He brought me, brothers and sisters, it is no man could have seen me. You could not have accepted me. There is no way people would. And what happened? Even Christians were afraid of me. They knew I was saved. And they could visit me in the hospital. And they started encouraging me to die. You know when even Christians, they have given up? Have you ever prayed for someone you know he will die? You will hear your faith. You will start saying, God, let your will be done. Because you're not sure. You can't say, receive your healing. So Christian started telling me, Mike, don't worry. If you die, you'll go to heaven. For 9 months, I heard stories about heaven. I'm the best heavenly preacher than anyone else. Because for 9 months, people taught me how heaven is, how the angels dress, how there is gold in heaven. Oh, don't worry. If you die, you go to heaven. But one night, let me tell you, a voice visited me in that room. There were three bodies, dead body in that room. I can't forget that. And I heard my name. And that name was not normal. It was not Mike. It was Mika, because only my dad called me Mika. And I heard the name Mika. And I knew that is either my father or it must be God. Because nobody knew the name. And the name Mika came from nowhere. And there were dead bodies. I was so afraid. I knew this is what people hear the last when they have to die. And the name said, Mika! Mika! I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to use you to the nation. Now, that made me to know that I'm dying. Because in such a situation, to tell someone like that to heal is okay. But to mention another name, nation, is a lie. Because this man has got no schooling. He has got no education. He has got no future. He has lost everything of his childhood. How can you talk of nation to such a person? But let me tell you, when God says something, He is God. He doesn't care the condition. He doesn't care where you are. When He says something, it will come to pass despite the opposition. Hallelujah. And the voice said, Mike, I will heal you. And I'm going to send you to the nation. And I could not believe it. I had pain all over my body. I had open wounds in my body. And I was so afraid. It was at night. I was so afraid. Because since I got saved, I had never heard the voice of the Lord. I never knew God can speak. I knew what people were telling me about God. But I had nothing. I didn't know even how to pray. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But I knew that is my Father or God. And I knew my father was dead. So it must be my heavenly Father. And that was the one who talked to me. And in the morning, I was shocked. Because I felt like going to the toilet. And I felt I could come out of the bed. And when I stood, the nurses that came to pick the body, to take it to the mortuary, they ran away. Because they thought another dead body has raised from the dead. And they were shocked to see. And they all came to one conclusion that that must be God. And let me tell you something. When I did my test just a few months ago, when I decided just to check my body to see whether everything's okay, they said, I have very, very brand new kidneys. I have the brand new kidneys. Is there anything too hard for God? God healed all my blood. I have one of the cleanest blood because the blood of Jesus is in me. Hallelujah. God took away all my pain. And for that reason, God called me into the ministry. And he dedicated me and he said, now go to the nation. And from that time, God started opening the door for me to go to the nation. And I said, I will not enjoy this alone. And I started an orphanage. I started reaching other orphans and to tell them, to show them the way of the cross, to tell them this is Jesus. And I started preaching. I started planting churches. And now in Kenya and in East Africa, we have about 97 churches and we have 300 right now. This is the last, the fifth generation of orphanage, which means there's a generation which already is working, is doing great things for the Lord. This is the fifth one we have. We have 360 children that were going to die on the street. Right now, they are praising Jesus. They are praising Jesus. And we have only done one thing. We have directed them to the cross. Not with anybody. And many people always, they ask me every time, where do money come from? I tell them our health comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. If he gave me new kidney, will he not be able to give me anything else I need? If he gave me new life, and this is what the story is talking about in the Bible here. The children of prophets that were working with Elisha, they were together with Elisha. They were the sons of prophets, as the Bible says. But one thing they happened in their life, they discovered the place where they were was too small for them. I am so happy when I came to the Harvest Time Church, I discovered the people of Harvest, you had discovered that the place where you are is too small for you. And when I looked at the board, I saw there is a new vision of you building a bigger church. That is exactly what happened. And they said, man of God, we know this place is too small for us, but now we want everyone. Listen, there's a time God wants each and every person to take a personal responsibility. They said, we want everyone to do something about this small place. We want someone to go to the river and bring a beam, to bring a tree, so that we can expand our place. And the man of God told them, go. This is the same word Jesus used when he said, go ye to the world and preach the gospel. So Elisha uses the same word. He says, go. Go forth. Go. You know, go is the name of God. If you only add D, it's the three quarter of the name of God. You can never have God if you are not ready to go. So he said, go, go. And when they went, they had nothing. So they had to go to the neighbors to borrow for the axe so that they can cut the tree down. And the Bible says, while they were cutting the tree down, while one of them was cutting, he lost the most important thing in an axe. That is the axe head. And he cried. If you had read this in a Hebrews Bible, the kind of the cry he cried was the same cry that people cry when they lose somebody they love. He said, oh, Lewangu, oh, my Lord, it was borrowed. He did not cry that he lost the thing. He was thinking of the owner of the thing. His cry was not because that thing was so important. It was only because it was borrowed. Which means if it was not borrowed, he would not have cried the same way. And I want to submit to you Your life is a borrowed life. It is not yours. You only thing in you thing you have, you know, an axe. The only important things in an axe is the axe head. If you remove an axe, you only remain with a pole, with a beam, nothing. You can't use it. You can't do anything with it. The only important things in an axe is the head of the axe. And if you lose the head of the axe, you remain with nothing. Let me tell you what God talked to me this morning. He told me, tell this first service that their life is a borrowed life. That one day the owner will require back that life. You know, when you borrow something, if you don't take it back, they will come for it. You understand that? And the greatest shame is when you borrow something and it doesn't help you. And this man cried. He said, oh man of God, it was borrowed. And God showed me so clearly, he said, our lives, brothers and sisters, is a borrowed life. Your life is good. But let me tell you, this body is yours. Your clothes are yours, but the life is not yours. Your car is your car. That's why you can say, my head, my hand, who are you? Who owns all these things? You are a borrowed commodity. Your life, God just lent, gave to you. To use it, one day he will ask for it. And when I was thinking, the suffering we go in Kenya, the pain, the price we pay to preach the gospel. Maybe Pastor Glenn told you about my mission in Somalia, where I preach the gospel to the people that they will die the following day. The people that when they get saved, they lose their hands. They lose their family. They are an outcast. They start suffering. Immediately they gave their life. And here you are in America. You can ask, you can pray the way you want. You can read your Bible in different translation and nobody will ask you. When you're found in Somalia's land where I'm preaching, if they find you with the Bible, you are killed immediately with Al-Shabaab. And your life is a free life here. God has given you. And I was asking myself, why has God allowed some people to be happy? Because I never chose. I was saying, if I had a choice to be born, I would have been born in America. I will not allow myself to be born in a place in Kenya where I will suffer all my childhood. But why did God allow me to be in Kenya? He only, because that life, whether it's in Kenya or in America, it is not our life. It is a borrowed life that one day he will require. I have finished with one question. When the Lord will ask you of the axe head he lended to you, maybe for 40 years, for 100 years, for 80 years, what will you tell God you have done with it? What will you show God? Let me tell you, coming to church is nothing. There is no crown. I've read the Bible. I tried to look for a crown for churchgoers. I didn't find it. There are no crown for churchgoers. What will you say before God? God, you gave me this life. And I did this. I saved a soul. I invited someone to church. I shared something. I gave something. I did this. What will you tell God with your borrowed life? But one day, listen to me. God told me to say this. One day, whether you like it or not, if you don't take it back, he will come for it. And he will need his axe. The joy will be to anyone to tell the Lord, here I am. I went to Africa. I did this for you. I blessed the man of God. I prayed for the church, God. I never was not that perfect, but this is what I did. But I have a word of hope for you today. You can ask God. When this man cried and he said, oh my Lord, it is borrowed. It was borrowed. It had fallen in the river. There was no way to recover it back. I thank God the prophet had to take a tree. He threw it in the river. And the Bible says it floated up against the law of nature. And when it floated up, Listen to this. The man of God did not take it back to the owner. He gave it back to that man. God told me today, there are people, he's giving back that which they have lost. There's something you lost in your acts. And you feel you're a loser. And the world tells you you're a loser. God said, there's something. He will give it back to you. He will give it back to you. He will give it back to you. He's a faithful God. He gave me back my axe, which I had lost in the street. When I had lost my axe, and people called me a street boy, he will die before the age of 17. When I was in the hospital, and the doctor said, we should even kill him. We should just inject him to die instead of him living with all pain. God came and gave me new life. And here I am with a new axe, using it to the nation. There are people here, God will use you. God is not yet finished with you. There are people, God will use you to reach your family. There are people here, you have lost an axe for your family. God is telling me to tell you, it's coming back. Bow your head quickly for a word of prayer. Rakapaka sototo. Father, it is borrowed. It is borrowed. Do we have anybody here who maybe in one or the other you have never given your axe to the Lord to lead it, to give your life to God? If you're here, I don't take this for granted. Just quickly lift up your hands before I continue. If you're never given your life to Jesus, you're not a Christian, don't fear anything. Lift up your hands high. This can be the day of salvation. Anybody here? Anybody here? Anybody here? Anybody here? Thank you, Jesus. You are here, you've heard this word, and you feel, God, I've lost my axe many times. I've lost the cutting edge of my life. I've lost my prayer life. There are people here who the devil has discouraged you. You used to pray. You used to stand with the word of God. You used to serve God. But now you're getting tired. You're getting tired even to come to church. You're getting tired even to give. You're getting tired to do the will of God. God wants to touch you now. I don't want to take more time because of the next service. But I want you who is here, who feels God has spoken to you, without being ashamed, just stand on your feet, because God has sent me as a prophet to this church to declare the new move and the new standard of God for this work. Just stand up in the name of Jesus. Thank you for those who are standing. God bless you. God bless you. I just feel the presence of God here. Just come and we meet here in the name of Jesus. Quickly just come. Anybody, you feel this, I just want you to come. Lift up your hands, we pray together. It's a quick prayer. Lift up your hands, a sign of surrender. It's a sign of you. There's something is going to happen. Something is going to happen to your life that you've been waiting for many years. It's going to take place because God is giving back to you the cutting edge. God is giving back to you the cutting edge. If you're still seated, just come. Don't waste any minute, because this is the only time the grace of God is in this presence. It is not about me, it's about Jesus. It is about his blood. It's about his power. It's about his anointing. And in this same very place, healing is already taking place. As you're taking the step of faith coming forward, healing is taking place. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for my life. Just confess it with power. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for my life. Thank you for my life. I have discovered it is a borrowed life. And Lord, I'm asking, give me grace that I may use it today. From today, I am asking for a fresh anointing for your glory. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the axe. It is borrowed. I thank you for the restoration of the axe. I thank you for the manifestation of your word. God, I command every sickness right now to leave the bodies of your people. I command every failure right now Every spirit of discouragement, hear the word of God. I am speaking to every force of darkness right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command Satan, lose your hold. In the name of Jesus, lose your hold right now. Lift up your hands and start thanking God with your own words. Just start praying, God. Just ask God for His grace. Oh, Rama Mama Bashete Kelebabosoto. Riba Baba Baba Bashata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is borrowed. I just see God restoring to you. I just see God restoring passion. I see God restoring passion in your life. I see God restoring passion in your life. I see God. I receive it. God is just saying, He's restoring fatherhood. He's bringing a spirit of fatherhood right now. And He's telling me to tell you, you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed now because there is newness. Rika paposhoto. New acts. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Give God almighty hand clap. Just worship the Lord with a hand clap. Worship the Lord with a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the restoration. Receive the newness of the Spirit. Receive the fire. Receive the joy. Receive the authority. I just have one word for you, brother. Hallelujah. Just walk with me. I just see you walking in a different dimension. I just see God lifting your spirit up once again. I just see God just exalting you, taking you to places you have never been. The places you have feared before to walk into. I see God walking you into your destiny in Jesus' name. Hey, give God a good hand clap offering. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, God bless you. You may be seated with the love of God. Thank you for responding to the word of God. Your life will never be the same. Pastor Glenn requested me that when I'm finished with the first service, I should just give people opportunity of those who feels they would like to stand with us in Africa to put the roof of our new sanctuary. As you heard him talking to the video, our church was burnt, our equipment, we lost things worthy millions of Kenya shillings. And I had given up, really, that's the truth. I said to the Lord, I'm done now, I can't do anything. And one morning the angel came back to me. He said, Mike Brown, I called you. And I went to the church. I want you to listen. I just want one thing here. Just put it here because I just feel there is a prophetic anointing coming now. One day I went to the church when our church had been burned. 36 people, my members were killed. I had given up. I reached a place, 6 orphans were destroyed, and I had spent all my life raising funds all over the world to do the church, and everything had gone into smoke. I gave up. And I went to, on Sunday, I decided to go to church because I knew nobody will turn out. And when I drove to my church compound, there were over 2,000 people waiting. And I was shocked. No building, no nothing. And that day, it was raining. They called dog and cat, but that was elephant and hippopotamus or something. Heavy rain. But they were there worshiping the Lord. And the Lord told me, it's the time to move on. So I want to request you, this church is a home of prayer. Our ministry, I was so blessed when you said this is a busy church. We do our church 24/7. Every day is a church day. We are using our place as a feeding center for the orphans that we can bring. We cannot yet afford to bring them in. But they can come every lunch hour and have some hot meal. Just something small, not much, but we are blessed to do that. But right now, we have started a season of serious rain. if nothing is done, we cannot do much. And I believed God wanted this church to be in the heart of his heart, to be part of this great move. So I will just call, and whatever you give, give unto the Lord. Good measure, shaken together, will be given back to you. I bless you and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor, I want to ask if you would just come and just join me here. And church, you know, the scripture says that they came and they laid their offering at the apostles' feet. And while Pastor Dan plays, I just want to invite you to come and just as you bring your offering, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, just come and quickly greet Pastor Mike. And let's be a blessing to him as he's been a blessing. Are you blessed with this word and the ministry of the Lord today? Let's show our appreciation to the Lord. And just come and let's greet the man of God and bless him today. Church, let's sing together. This will be our benediction this morning. Let's sing How Great Is Our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing, how great. How great is our God. Time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. Lion and the Lamb.